Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our first meeting of the Transportation Finance Committee for 2013. I'm Representative Frank Hornstein, the chair of the committee this year. We have a very quick and brief but important agenda today. We're going to do committee and staff introductions, go over quickly some procedures, and if members have any other questions or concerns, to raise those as well. But one thing that I did, and you'll notice this is something I picked up from Representative Holberg last year as she chaired the Ways and Means Committee, we are going to start at 10 o'clock every day. And so you know, we have a number of members missing, but we want to set up very early on that this is a committee that will hopefully reflect our transportation theory that things ought to run on time. So we'll run on time and end on time as well. You can count on that from this committee. So in terms of the introductions, we want to go around and ask people not just to say their name and their district number, but a little bit about you, your background, anything you may want to mention about your family, any issues in your district that we ought to know about that are of particular concern. And I was having lunch with Representative Petersburg yesterday at the One Minnesota Conference, so we both exchanged some early memories of transportation in our youth. And so he talked about going on the train from Claremont to Rochester. And so if you have any, if you want to share, it's not required, but if you want to share any early memories of transportation issues that have been impactful for you growing up, that'd be great. Because it is, you know, when you have kids, it's always the trucks, the planes, the trains are always of interest. So you want to throw that in as well as part of your introduction. So again, I'll start, and then we'll start with members, maybe with Representative Holberg, and then move around. And then after the introductions, again, we'll get into some of our procedures and process, and hopefully we could be done a little before 11 would be my goal today. So. And I'm Representative Frank Hornstein. I represent District 61A in southwest Minneapolis and part of downtown. This is my sixth term in the Minnesota House of Representatives. I've served on this committee from the beginning. So I've served under Chair Queasley, Chair Holberg, Chair Leader, and Chair Beard. And so it's I stand on all of their shoulders. This has been a great committee over the years. A real spirit of, I think, bipartisan respect has prevailed, even when we've disagreed, and it's certainly a tone I want to keep forward, move forward as well in my chairmanship. My background in terms of transportation, it's been a lifelong interest and passion of mine, but I especially got interested as a member of the Metropolitan Council from 2000 to 2002, where I learned a lot about the transit system in the region, how it's financed, what its strengths, what its weaknesses are. I'm certainly interested in that agenda, as well as a balanced agenda where we also were funding adequately roads and bridges throughout the state. And one of my early childhood memories, Representative Beard, I think you'll appreciate this, is growing up in Cincinnati, Ohio, my dad used to once in a while take us to the Greater Cincinnati Airport, which was in Kentucky, by the way, across the river, and just not to travel, but just to watch the planes take off and land. And that was like something I always looked forward to. It was fascinating. We had something at the time, I think this may have existed at other airports too, but you could pay a dime, go through a turnstile, and go up to what they called the observation deck, and just simply watch the planes from the outside. So I really enjoyed that. You know, been fascinated with things that that move on wheels ever since then. And so, again, welcome everybody, and let's start again with the members, Representative Holberg, and we'll move around the horseshoe in this direction. Welcome everybody.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. I'm Mary Liz Holberg. I represent most of Lakeville. This will be my sixth term on this committee. Last session there was a conflict with civil law, so I guess I have to say this was maybe my second favorite committee. let's see. Probably the best thing in my life right now is I'm a grandma of a three-year-old. Enjoy that new perspective. And my first transportation activity was when I was on the Planning Commission of the City of Lakeville almost 20 years ago and served on a County Road 42 corridor task force about how County Road 42 was supposed to be a major east-west arterial across Dakota County that was totally dysfunctional because the amount of access, stoplights, etc. 20 years later, it's still totally dysfunctional, and Dakota County has still failed to get an east-west arterial that actually moves people effectively. So I think in transportation, for the most part, there's not new issues. It's just the same ones in different stories or places. So thank you, Chair Hornstein.
Thank you. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. My name is Marion O'Neill, and newly elected this year, living in Buffalo. So I represent Buffalo, Monticello, and Maple Lake. Something fun is that I come from a family of pilots, so small planes pilots. And my dad was so avid that we actually moved from the area where the Lake Rebecca Park Reserve is, near Greenfield, to near Bagley and Bemidji, and he had to find a property that actually had an airstrip on it. He was such an avid flyer. So we found a little piece of property, about almost 400 acres, and it had a nice airstrip on it. Of course, it was, you know, like a little dirt road and a little grass, but I remember being, I'd say probably 3 years old was my youngest memory of being in his plane with my sister strapped into one seat. I suppose you shouldn't say that anymore, but that's what my dad would do and take us up often in the planes. And so he actually, what was interesting when we lived in Greenfield is that he had his plane at the Buffalo Airport, which I drive by almost every day on my way now here, which is very nostalgic for me. So it kind of comes full circle. Now I live in Buffalo, where he talked about so many times the airport there, and he'd fly from our little place up in near Bagley and fly into the either the Maple Lake Airport or Buffalo Airport, which now I'm serving. So that's, it's really come full circle. And he just sent me a little card, and he said, he didn't say I'm proud of you, but this is how he says he's proud of me. He says, you know, you're the first one in our family. And he means 11 generations back, because I'm a daughter of the Revolution, or probably even before that. Our family came in 1630. So he's looking back 11 generations of this big, huge family tree, and I'm the only one that's the an elected official. So he was very excited about that. And then he sent me a check, because that's how he says he loves me. So that was kind of fun. It's a nice, I'm going to go to Vegas with it. So that's just a little bit about me. I'm married. I've been married 22 years. I have a son in college, and my daughter is still at the Buffalo High School. And there is one issue, actually there's a couple transportation issues in my district that are so impactful. The Buffalo, Monticello, Maple Lake area has just grown tremendously. It's actually doubled in size in 20 years. So our roads are, you know, jam-packed, and 94, of course, is jam-packed, and most people take that. So if we just had, I think it was 4.5 miles of three lanes instead of two lanes from Albertville down to Rogers, it would really alleviate a lot of stress on our communities there. So
thank you.
I'd advocate for that.
That's great. Thanks. It's a great story, too.
Thank you.
President Petersburg.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. I'm John Petersburg. I represent 24A, which is Owatonna-Wauseka, south of here along I-35 and down in the southern part of Minnesota. And one of the reasons why I'm involved with this, or there are actually a couple. One, of course, is Highway 14. And I know I've talked to Chair Hornstein before. He even mentioned it first. But it is something that we have to do. One of the things that I'm going to talk about as far as my childhood memories of transportation included parts of that. But back when I graduated, we were told that it would be done by the year 2000, and it's still waiting to be done. So we're anxious to get that done for safety reasons as well as others. But one of my other childhood remembrances of transportation happens with a train as well. I grew up and graduated from Claremont High School, which is just east of my current district. Small town, graduating class of 24. Yes, 24, small. But we took, at that time, when you graduated, you could go on a class trip. Now, they don't do that much anymore, but we went on a class trip. There were 24 of us, 16 boys and 8 girls, and one set of parents were the chaperones. How was that for scary? And they took us to Chicago, and they took Chicago by the way of a train. And at that time, the passenger train no longer went to Claremont, so we went and had taken a bus to Winona and took the train from Winona to Chicago and spent 2 nights there and then came back again. And it was an interesting trip because a few of us boys decided to liven up a little bit. We brought along some plastic water squirt guns, and so we had a little fun on the train, make sure we didn't get caught either. But it was kind of fun. It's unique to be together in travel in that way, and so we appreciated that as well. And with that, I'll pass it on.
Thank you, Representative Sundin.
Okay, Sundin.
Sundin, sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Sundin. I represent the newly formed 11A, which is basically Carleton County with a few additional townships. The major cities up there would be Cloquet and Moose Lake. My history as a union organizer and consultant took me to every county in the state, and I've driven probably most of the roads in the state and realized the importance of maintaining them properly. Last spring's flood drew attention to the need for some upgrades in the northeastern section of the state. We need to do a better job of maintaining some of those secondary highways as well. My family history, I've got four generations of educators in my family. My grandmother was a school marm over 100 years ago and lived in Bemidji and taught in a school on the east side of the lake. And her mode of transportation was a sleigh in the wintertime, where the custodian would come and pick her up and deliver her back after a day of teaching. But I've got children that are educators now, nieces and nephews, and my hope is that when my grandchildren become teachers up in the Duluth area, they can teach down here in the metro area and commute back and forth on that high-speed rail that we're going to put in place.
Thank you. Representative Metza, welcome.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. I come from the Iron Range on the east side, cover Virginia, Eveleth, Gilbert, Wabak, and many other cities up there. Excited. It's my first time being down here as an elected official since at least student government back in high school. So it's a little bit different working in St. Paul, but it's been fantastic so far. I'm passionate about our transportation. It was my number one choice for committees. And we've got a highway relocation project going on right now up in Eveleth, and basically it's going to affect our community quite a bit. One of the mines owns the property and gave the state permission to put the road through there so we could get back and forth, and now they need to mine underneath it, and so we will have a lot of issues coming up to deal with there, and looking forward to working with you all on those. Kind of funny thing Mike was saying with the transportation with the sleds. My dad brought me a photo when he found out I was going to be on the transportation committee of two moose pulling a sled, and it might be Mike's grandma in the picture. So we've come a long way, and I look forward to getting even further and learning while I'm down here.
Thank you. Representative Mason, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm really excited about this. I'm Sandra Mason. I represent 51A, which is Western Eagan and literally Northern Burnsville. This is my third term, and I had served on the Transportation Committee previously, and my interest in transportation goes way back when I was on the Eagan City Council. I was on the board for the Minnesota Valley Transit Authority, helped found the Suburban Transit Authority, and also got involved in a number of other transportation advisory councils along the way. So I'm excited about that. And the other thing you mentioned was what I see happening in my district. When Highway 13 was cut off to put in 77, we had a shopping center down there that eventually went under. And now the city is looking at putting in a Paragon development, which is upscale discount stores, I guess. And I was told that they just opened one in Dallas where they had like 50,000 people coming inside of 4 days. There is a bus ramp. We have the transportation station down in Cedarvale. But the thought about getting anywhere near 50,000 cars inside of 4 days down there is going to be a major accomplishment. So I know they're looking for ways to modify access to that area.
Thank you. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Tim Mahoney, I believe this is my eighth term, I think it is. I am a babe in the woods on transportation, first time. I've been trying to block out most of my youthful memories for many years, so I'm not going to go there. But my last experience on a train was from New York City to Albany, up the Hudson River Valley. And aside from the fact that not driving and letting someone else do the driving, actually in a comfortable chair, was such a godsend after driving in New York City for 3 days. Going on, I represent northeast corner of the city of St. Paul. So transportation, public transportation is a big issue for us. My district, although is not exactly bounded by these, but I have Highway 61, Highway 36 in the district, and with the mega bridge, I better not say that, with the bridge over the St. Croix, I suspect 36 will become, what did someone call that, a parking lot or a nightmare or whatever we wish to call it. So I think that will be somewhere I have some issues with. And then one of the transit lines, the Gateway Corridor, either it could possibly go through or alongside my district.
Thanks. Now, Matt, why don't we just keep going in order here? So,
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Matt Burris. I'm with House Research Department, which is one of the nonpartisan offices in the House. I provide legal and drafting research services to the committee and to members. Staff both the Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committees. And I think this is my eighth session. I have a background in public policy and before that political science. And it's, transportation has been a policy area interest of mine for some time. I'm married and I have a daughter who will turn six very shortly and a 3.5-year-old as well.
And just thank you, Mr. Burson. Just an editorial comment, and I'm sure that Chair Beard would agree with me as well. I want the members to know, new and old, that Mr. Burris is an incredible resource, and you should always feel free to contact him, and he's very great about contacting you back. And if you have ideas for bills, he can just translate those ideas into bill form and go through everything with you. And we're so lucky to have him. Really top-notch, one of our best, nonpartisan House research staffers. So just make sure that you introduce yourself, say hello, and meet with him, because he's a real asset to our committee.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Andrew Lee. I'm the nonpartisan fiscal staff for the Minnesota House. I'm staffing this committee and the Capital Investment Committee. And I, a long interest in transportation, served as a page in 2010, worked at Metro Transit for the last year, did a project for MnDOT, and so I have a little bit of interest and knowledge in this. So.
And Humphrey School?
Oh, yes. Just graduated in May. And this is my second committee.
Can I add one thing, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I just got to say how appreciative I've been of the staff and bringing us new members all up to speed. And it's been just great having all of you be accessible and making sure we know the process. It's foreign to me. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Metza. Ms. Nelson.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. My name is Rachel Nelson. I'm the committee legislative assistant for this committee. Before this, I was a licensed attorney. I practiced mostly, well, I still am a licensed attorney, I suppose, but I was practicing mostly criminal defense and free speech law, but I'm a constituent of Vice Chair Bernardi's, we both live in Fridley. So that's a little bit of trivia about me. My interest in transportation, I don't really have a huge background in it, but I traveled in Europe and was amazed at any city you went to, you could get anywhere you needed to. And most of the time, we didn't even know the language, so that was pretty incredible. And just one of the coolest things I did over there was to take the Channel from London to Paris, and like you said, just sit back and let someone else do it and get there quickly. It was pretty amazing. Yeah, so that's a little bit about me. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members, my name is Matt Shear. I'll be the committee administrator for this committee. Some of you might remember me. I've kind of been in and out of the legislature since 2001 when I was a high school page. And I've traveled extensively doing campaign work throughout Minnesota, and I think the thing that I'm most interested in is looking at how transit affects different parts of the state, from the metro all the way to Hallock and Kitson County.
So. I like that Hallock.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry I was late. I was being good. I was turning off my phone, and I realized I use my phone as my clock. So I'm getting a watch tomorrow. So
that's a good excuse.
Yeah, I apologize for that, because I definitely am very excited to be here and serve on the committee of Chair Hornstein. He's an, as everyone knows, he's an excellent legislator in person, so I'm glad to be here. My first experience with transportation that is memorable to me is my family. My dad worked in a factory, and he got 2 weeks of vacation every year, and we would load up the camper and we'd go somewhere across the country. And I remember talking about safety, we wouldn't do these things now, but sitting up on the top of our pickup truck and our camper, my brother and I, you know, counting all the VW Beetles on the way to Washington, D.C. I remember that and how hot it was. And then also just a quick story about, and then at some vacations we'd actually pull our 90 Honda Trail bikes, which could go on roads, and then we would drive around the mountains and stuff on our motorcycles with my mom and dad. So that was pretty cool. And then we just were recently on a family vacation on by the ocean, and very winding roads. And my daughter, she said, I don't think MnDOT or OSHA has done a very good safety job on these roads. And I just started laughing. I thought MnDOT, they have a lot of responsibility, but I don't think for the roads in this state. So that was pretty funny. I got a good laugh out of that. And I'm very interested in transportation, especially in how it impacts communities and multimodal transportation. I got involved when I was first in the legislature with parents who wanted it more safe for their students to be able to walk to school, and we actually walked to school together. And it's grown into a passion of mine because it creates communities, it creates safety, it impacts health, our environment. And I think most importantly, we have the opportunity to invest in infrastructure that helps our economic development in the state and helps us be 21st century state. So I'm hoping after our conference yesterday that we make century decisions here and make Minnesota great through our transportation system.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and welcome back. I've been privileged to serve with Representative Hornstein on the Transportation Committee for every term I've been here, starting the sixth, with the exception of the second one, when I was an ex officio member like Mr. Carlson was, because I think there was some internal Republican politics that year that squeezed me off the committee of the year. Chair Holberg chaired it, so they made me ex officio so I could continue to chair the aviation subcommittee, which seemed to be important in those days. But so I still claim that I've been on it all 6 years, but even though I was an outsider looking in that one term. I'm originally from western Pennsylvania, born and raised in the hills there. When it comes to transportation, if it floats or flies or rolls around, I've probably done it or owned it or something like that. I'm a pilot. I currently have a couple of airplanes that I rent to young fellows and young people who are building multi-engine time, which is pretty important for the pilot shortage that's coming up here. In fact, that's how I actually got to Minnesota. All I ever wanted to be in life growing up was a missionary bush pilot. And obviously I didn't make that happen, but the pilot part happened, and so I've been one of the go-to guys in the legislature over the years on aviation issues, and I'm grateful to hear that there's others that are interested in that as well, so we can pass that baton along. I also have had the good fortune, actually if I told you my whole life story, you'd think this guy has trouble holding a job, because one of the best jobs I ever had was as a locomotive engineer trainee for the Penn Central Railroad, running back and forth between Pittsburgh and Harrisburg on the main line, going fast is the way trains are meant to go, and they're a lot more fun than you can imagine, and they pay really well. I also had the privilege of firing for Amtrak for about a year of that time, so I actually have some hands-on operating experience with the Amtrak thing. And then when we moved back to Minnesota, I got a job at Chicago Northwestern Railroad, riding around the other end of the train in the caboose because they didn't need engineers. They just needed somebody who could throw switches and stay awake. So that's what I did there. I've also been in trucking business. Our family has some interest there. I've actually owned a semi. If you're thinking about doing that, don't ever do that. Call me first. I'll talk you out of it. And I remember in our small town in Pennsylvania when Interstate 80 was being built, the Eisenhower Defense Highway System in our little town was pretty remote on basically township and state routes, and I-80 coming over the mountain was a really big deal. We were pretty isolated, so I understand and I get it how transportation ties us together and makes us connected as a state and as a nation, especially when we live kind of at the end of the road up here in Minnesota. Good transportation is hugely important if we're going to continue to prosper and stay connected with the rest of the world. And that includes our train system, our highway system, and our airports. So you'll find I'm pretty passionate about all of those. Let's see. I'll tell you a little about my background. I'm married a long time. I married my high school sweetheart, so I've actually been married for 41 years. I have 4 adult kids, 12 grandkids. Mary Liz, welcome to the grandma world. It's way better the second time around, isn't it? And so I'm very blessed with that. And that's largely why I do what I do down here, why I serve in the legislatures, because I have grandkids. And I want to be sure that we preserve our freedom, our liberty, our personal responsibility, and the prosperity that we've been blessed with in this country. And that's why I stick around here and do what I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good luck to you this year. And I've got to concur, just in closing, that Matt Burris is one of the best things that's happened to this committee, at least when I was the chairman. And I would encourage all of you to avail yourself of his skill and his expertise. Just don't use the words cut and paste when you're asking him to draft a bill. You'll see his face get red and his veins stand up. I can't apologize enough for that, Mr. Burris, but thank you for taking good care of me while I chaired the committee, and thank you for being my able, capable, and willing foil when I chaired the committee, Mr. Hornstein, Representative Hornstein.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to add my congratulations to your appointment. I would say that I'm a second-termer. This is the second time that I've been on the Transportation Committee, and as I view the work that I did over the last couple of years, this is probably one of my favorite committees to be on. It's one of those committees you could really see the work of the government advance prosperity and safety in our communities. I know we're being televised, so I'm absolutely going to mention that I'm married to a wonderful wife, Susan. I have 4 adult children, and I have 4 grandchildren and one more on the way. In fact, the middle daughter was texting me during church saying, I think I might be going. And it luckily didn't happen because she's still about a month or so away. I've got a long-time interest, and maybe it's just the generation that I grew up in terms of transportation. Maybe it's gender, too. I don't want to, you know, cast that necessarily, but I like anything that moves, wheels, wings, tracks, and I'm interested in it. I served in another lifetime as a district manager for the U.S. Postal Service and 6 years in eastern Pennsylvania with 6,000 employees. I had 1,000 city letter carriers and 600 rural letter carriers out on the roads every day, 6 days a week. And the last year that I served in that capacity, it was 2004, we had 400 motor vehicle accidents. So I come at it from a standpoint of safety and the economic side of it in terms of understanding the logistics of how important they are in terms of moving commerce. Having my district in the Philadelphia area, there were times on the Schuylkill Expressway into Philadelphia was a parking lot for an hour, hour and a half when I was trying to move down mail down the road into the central processing plant in Philadelphia. So locally, I have a couple of concerns, and John mentioned one. Representative already mentioned about the fact that we've got a concern about the safety on Highway 14, and we want to see that taken care of, and I think hopefully there's some enough concern now and movement in that direction. But I also have a concern for Highway 52, and I look at that in a couple different ways, too. I have the pleasure of also being an associate professor at a small college, teach business, and about every other year I teach quantitative methods. And in that class, one of my favorite things to do is use algorithms in order to show people in logistics how they can use mathematics to find the most efficient ways to get goods and services delivered. And one of those areas that I have a lot of concern about is Highway 52. Rochester is one of those regional economic hubs, the largest private employer in our state, So I have a real concern about Highway 52 and that whole transportation corridor. So I look forward to the good discussions that we're going to have about a couple of those things that I'm interested in. The last time I'm interested in all forms, certainly we have an international airport in Rochester. I want to continue to see that thrive and be modernized, and we've had issues around that in the past. And there's some talk about a rail, but I'd have to say that the last time I took a trip on a choo-choo was between Oslo and Stockholm a few years ago. I have not been particularly enamored with trains and their efficiencies and their subsidies in the United States, and I'm sure I'll have some interesting conversation around those topics when we broach them.
Thank you. Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Dean. Raymond Dean. I represent 59B, which is Minneapolis District, and it's the majority of downtown Minneapolis, the southern part of North Minneapolis, and a sliver of Bryn Mawr, which I can't forget those folks that are now part of this district. First term, I live on the north side with my partner Joan. I have one son and two bonus daughters and five bonus grandchildren. So the future is very important to me and to my family. My fondest memory of transportation as a youth was I grew up right by Crystal Airport. And when I was a kid, I used to get on my bike and ride down there and watch the planes take off. Never really rode got on a plane or anything, but I always found it exciting. My first experience up in the air was in a helicopter. And if you haven't had the chance to go up in a helicopter, you will always remember it. I've had the opportunity to be engaged around lots of issues of transportation in the past few years. I've served on the Bottineau Transway Policy Advisory Committee with Hennepin County looking at the proposed LRT or transit way for Bottineau. Over the years, I've had opportunity to travel a lot, and I probably used public transportation in over 25 or 35 American cities and nearly as many throughout the world. My district has, I would probably think, the highest concentration of asphalt in the state of Minnesota. So as a transportation center in downtown Minneapolis, transportation is a key component of what my district is and what it will take to continue thriving moving forward. And I'll end with that.
Thanks so much. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Rod Hamilton. I represent District 22B, which is southwestern part of the state. And we have two children. Our son goes to the University of Minnesota. Our daughter goes to the University of Iowa. They've been competing their entire life. Now is no different when they're in college. My experience with transportation, this is the first time I've been on this committee. However, in 2008, I overrode Governor Plenty's transportation veto, along with my DFL colleague, Ron Earhart. And I see that I'm sitting right next to him, and I don't know if that's by design or not. But
no, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. I like to hear the different perspectives. You know, my friend's talking about Highway 14, which is very important to southern Minnesota as well, like Highway 60, and that's what I was fighting for in 2008. And they've completed the leg from Iowa up to Worthington, and they've staked, and they're starting the leg from St. James back to Windham. And that was a project that was scheduled to be completed in 1973, I believe it was. And so when you're sharing your story about Highway 14, the money left our area and went to other areas. And that's something we need to stand up and fight for. I'm more than happy to visit with you on that and work with my colleagues down there, because those are two very important roads in this state as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, I have to tell you, I went over to the pages because, and I said to them, they haven't told you that you've got to stay standing the entire time, have they? I thought maybe this was a new training, but they tell me that they were advised that they'll be introducing themselves too, so they're standing ready.
absolutely.
Attention. I live in St. Paul, and I represent a tiny portion of St. Paul, but mostly the cities of Falcon Heights, where the state fairgrounds is. Lauderdale and the city of Roseville. If you've shopped at Rosedale Mall, you've been in my district. I grew up on a farm, born and raised on a farm until I went away to college, so we come with lots of different experiences. In my new district, I share the highway that Representative Mahoney talked about. I happened to oppose the Stillwater Bridge for precisely the one of the reasons that he talked about. We spent more on that bridge instead of spending it on Highway 14. We're spending more on that than the Highway 35W bridge that collapsed. And what it will do is allow a burst of new development in Wisconsin, and all of that new development will then come onto Highway 36, and then this state will have another expensive problem. Highway 280 runs through my district, and what happens to projects like that, especially in an urban area, when you build a road, they will come. And that was, people who've lived there a long time remember that was first built. It was just going to be a street, they explained to the neighbors, that would take the trucks off of Eustis. And, of course, it evolved into, I think, one of the dangerous stretches of roadway. I don't know if it still is, but it used to be one of the more dangerous stretches of roadway because it was never designed to handle the volume of traffic it is with entrance and exit ramps. In my old district, which I just recently lost, it was Highway 94 and the Central Corridor, which is now nearing a completion of construction. 94 and Snelling was, I believe, the most dangerous intersection in terms of people running red lights. And WCCO did a story, and so you will be interested to know that I will yet again offer the bill that allows local entities to use cameras because we don't have the sufficient resources to monitor something like that. And so what everyone does who understands an intersection like that is they stay right in place until absolutely every car has stopped for fear of their life. And I hope we have an opportunity to talk about that. You named all the chairs that you have served with. I think I go back one more, and that is Representative Wagenius, who was one of the early visionaries about doing things in different ways in this state. And she was the first to say, we're losing all of our rail corridors, they're starting to develop them, and so before we lose them all, let's study them to see which should be preserved as potential commuter corridors. That was how we first started that study, and they determined that the Elk River to Hastings line was the most viable, and that's how the North Star Corridor began. We didn't quite do what that initial study said in the Elk River to Hastings stretch, but we're still working on that. When I had enough seniority that I was a committee chair, everybody assumed then that I would ask for the Transportation Finance Committee. But in fact, I asked for capital investment because we do lots of transportation in that bill. We do local roads and bridges. We do ports, so if you expand a port in Winona, they can double the tonnage through that port. Some of you heard me give these examples earlier today in our committee. When you build an airport hangar in Thief River Falls, you help DigiKey stay economically competitive. They don't have to thaw out their airplane every morning. But most significantly, in terms of transportation, what that bill does is it has built our transit corridors. And one of the suggestions I'll make to you, Mr. Chair, or an invitation, is to join us for a joint hearing when Jay Coles of the Itasca Group comes in to present his research on these corridors. The business community, all of the major chambers traveled to Salt Lake City and Denver and other cities, and were somewhat alarmed at how far ahead all of those cities are. They realize Denver is attracting more of the demographic between age 24 to 36 or whatever a desirable demographic because of their transportation choices, and they're building 3 and 4 corridors at a time. And so the business community has a renewed interest, and they did a study determining return on investment and discovered, you may have read about this in both the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press, that this 2030 plan of the Met Council had a significant return on investment. And then they went a step further and they said, if we did it 7 years faster, it would have an even greater return on investment. So we are going to have them present that research, and that might be a good joint committee hearing we might have.
Well, thank you, Chair Houseman. That was certainly on my to-do list of having the Itasca people come to this committee and present that ROI study. So let's just do it together with the Capital Investment Committee. That's a great idea. Thank you. I think Representative Chairman Earhart has joined us. We're doing introductions, a little about your background, issues of concern in your district related to transportation.
Well, I apologize for being late, Mr. Chairman, but my dog got my key card, got out of the yard, and I chased him for 6 or 7 blocks before I caught him. It still works, but it's got some teeth marks in it. I have heard the study from the Itasca group, and my remark to Mr. Coles after the meeting was, we knew most of this about 5 to 10 years ago, and we're very happy you've codified it. So it is interesting, but we actually were talking about some of the things that he has found, in fact, to be the case. So that probably adds more weight to the fact that we need some probably new dollars for transit and other modes of transportation. So I have some experience having chaired this policy committee a couple of years ago for two terms, and certainly looking forward to finding which they haven't found yet, new ways to supply dollars to transportation.
Thank you. Mr. Nicely.
Mark Nicely, Republican Caucus Research. I've been on staff here for about 10 years. I started when you started here, Mr. Chair, and Representative Beard. I've been a legislative assistant, constituent services writer, committee administrator, and now this is my second go-round as a caucus researcher. I'm married. I have a daughter who's a junior at Pine City High School. I have a son who's a student at the U of M, and I'm just wondering if he'll be as studious as Representative Hamilton's son. And if you're friends with Representative Hamilton on Facebook, you know what I'm talking about. So.
Ms. Hatt.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Katie Hatt. I have just started this week as DFL Caucus Research Staff. I'll be working with both the Transportation Finance and the Transportation Policy Committees, as well as the Higher Education Committee. I come to this role most previously having worked at the Metropolitan Council, where I was a planner in the Community Development Division, focusing primarily on housing policy, but also how housing and transportation and jobs and all the connections to support a vibrant region work. Prior to that, I was the principal aide to Commissioner Peter McLaughlin for 5 years, where I supported the commissioner's work both on transit as well as chair of the Hennepin County Public Works Committee and looking at a whole host of transportation issues there. And I think one of my fondest, earliest transportation memories was taking the train when it still ran up to Duluth to see my great-grandma when I was about 5 years old, and how fun that was.
Great. Thank you. And our erstwhile pages, thank you very much for your work.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Will Ishii. I am your primary page this session. Nasir is going to introduce himself in a minute, but I graduated from the U of M in 2011, interned at the House or at the Senate in 2009 in my sophomore year, and interned in the governor's office in 2011 in the summer. And that was a big, big moment for all of us. I know many of you remember that. I joined the Guard a year ago, and I just came back from basic training this last summer. And that's.
My name is Nasir, and I just graduated from the U just about 4 weeks ago now, I guess. I graduated with Bachelor's of Art in Sociology of Law and Political Science and African Studies. And before that, I worked on the campaign as well this summer for Congressman Keith Ellison, and part of a little Obama campaign as well. And I'm a columnist as well, still working with the Daily, but I'm not here to represent any media. I'll be working with Jobs Committee and Housing as well.
Thank you. Welcome. And I noticed that Representative Howe has joined us. So, you know, I think you get the gist of this. Introductions yeah, yes. plus, a little bit more than just your name and your district number.
Well, my name's Jeff Howe. I come from district. I represent District 13A, which is southeast Stearns County. I'm married, got four great kids. I've got three boys and one daughter. My daughter just graduated from Gustavus. I've got all three of my sons are in the National Guard. I've got 31 years in the National Guard, and over 20 of those as a transportation officer. So transportation is important to me. Had two deployments. I know what a good road network looks like. I know what a bad road network looks like. I know what it takes to move product and people. And so that's why transportation is important to me, and glad to be here.
Thank you very much. I hope everyone's had a chance. I don't think anyone new has come in. So great. Thank you. This is really enriching. I really appreciated hearing everybody's stories and background information. And I think we, you know, have a really great committee, and I'm really excited to work with all of you. Just the last thing we're going to do today on the agenda is just, I'm not going to read all of these 10, these are not the 10 commandments here, they're not etched in stone, but these are 10, let's call them guidelines, rules, and I'm not going to go over them, but, you know, the most important, I think, is, you know, procedurally around bills. Just about every committee, this not being an exception, does have a rule. To try to get amendments in 24 hours ahead of time. And the reason we do that is that we want to have as much transparency as possible so that the community, people in this room, our transportation community, folks here at the Capitol, the public at large, all of you, majority and minority, have a chance to take a look at these amendments and respond and react appropriately. Now, we want to get them, the reason for the 24 hours is to get them posted online and into the media's hands, you know, with enough advance notice. If it's 22 hours, I mean, you know, we'll be somewhat flexible on that as long as, you know, Mr. Scheer can get it into who he has to get it into so it's posted. But, you know, generally we want this a day ahead of time. And so that's an important one of these rules. Secondly, there was a comment about seating assignment, and we had assignments just today so that people could find their way, but we're not going to have assigned seating for this committee. Just take your when you come in at the hopefully a few minutes before 10 o'clock, you'll grab your nameplate, your packet, sit wherever you want. That really doesn't matter to me. So just today was the exception. We're not having assigned seating in this committee. We will probably have one or two evening meetings when we're marking up our big bill. Those tend to be a little longer. Of course, you'll get a lot of advance notice, but I don't anticipate evening or weekend meetings in this committee. We'll be very planful about that, even towards the end when things get a little rushed. It's going to be really my strong desire to just meet at our regular meeting times. And again, when we have our bills that are of particular public interest, we may do an evening or two, and you'll get plenty of notice on that. You know, with that, I just again want to thank everybody for, you know, your participation and your involvement. Oh, one other thing just related to the rules I wanted to mention. You know, you've worked very hard for your election certificates, and everybody here has a great background in transportation. If you're on this committee, and there's other members too, I think we'll hear as many bills as we can, but if you're on this committee, you'll get your bill heard. So, you know, that's just not anything to worry about. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I just want to make sure that people get your written requests into Mr. Scheer, because we do need to follow that procedure where you have a written hearing request and submit that to Mr. Scheer, and then we'll get you, we'll work together as to the timing of when you want your hearing done. You know, of course, as part of that form you'll fill out for your hearing request, you'll mention any witnesses, where they're from, etc. So, you know, if you submit a bill and you want it heard in this committee, you will get a hearing as long as you give Mr. Scheer the notice. And we'll work together, as, again, your timing, what works best for you. So I wanted to let you know that as well. Are there any questions or comments at this point? Representative Earhart, Chair Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, I read the rules here. The only one that kind of bothers me is Rule 3, and I think I was thinking maybe we won't have any fun if you have to have appropriate decorum.
Define decorum inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, again, I will leave the committee wide discretion on that. I think of, again, appropriate is I think a widely understood term. Now, there's some stories that Representative Earhart can share with you about things that have happened in his committees, but we'll just leave it at that. Any other questions or comments or concerns?
So does that rule out us wearing our Zuba suits, Ron?
So just so people know, Representative Metza is taking the seat of Representative Rukavina. So I'm expecting some of that tradition in this committee. So
I've heard that he's
appropriate.
Already.
No, Mr. Chair, I have gotten specific instructions from Representative former Representative Rukavina to appropriately mentor Representative Metza.
Okay. And, so this is where I think Representative Earhart, Chair Earhart's concerns may surface. So. Is there any other questions or comments? By way of our next couple of meetings, we will now start with our overview and topical hearings of agencies and other interested parties. It's not just the agencies that are stakeholders in this committee. But we're going to start next Wednesday with an overview from MnDOT. There'll be some discussion of some of the highway usage formulas, et cetera, but we're going to have an overview of the agency, what it does, its mission, its areas, and then we'll have the transit agencies coming in the following day, a week from today, Met Council, hopefully the Suburban Transit Association, Representative Mason, and the County's Transit Improvement Board. There'll be some conversation about rural transit when MnDOT gives its overview. And then the following week, we'll have a presentation from our nonpartisan staff people on, again, really digging in a little deeper into the finance formulas for roads, bridges, and public transportation. And then we'll have an overview hearing in a couple of weeks from today from the Department of Public Safety, which this committee has some jurisdiction over as well, driver vehicle services, et cetera. So that's pretty much getting us towards the end of the month of January, and we'll probably have a few more overview hearings at that point. If you have particular transportation, transit, stakeholder groups that you think it's important for this committee to hear from briefly as we're kind of navigating the world of transportation in the state, please let me know and we can maybe figure out a way to get them set up. Because, again, this is more than just the public sector that has a stake in this. We'll hear, obviously, from the Chamber of Commerce. We'll bring them in, some of the other advocacy groups as well. Mm-hmm. So hopefully by early to mid-February, we'll really be ready to go. We'll all be on the same plane in terms of our knowledge and then start to hear bills, I think, at that point. So any other questions, comments? Great. Well, with that, our first committee meeting is adjourned.